Hey everyone, this is Andy.
And this is Sam.
And we're the Spiteries. We started the Spiteries review series as a small Patreon side project, but it turns out that my wife is even better at podcasting than I am, so we're bringing the Spiteries review to the masses.
Starting this month, the Spiteries review will be available wherever you get your podcasts, so come and listen as Andy and I chat about the stuff we've watched and the things that we've done.
With brand new episodes every month, the Spiteries review is a peek into what life is like in the Spiteri household, and you never know when Link or Zora will make a surprise appearance.
We've even got older shows in the vault that will be rolled out over the next few months, including reviews on Mean Girls, Twilight, Spirited Away, Cowboy Bebop, and more. So make sure you subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Like they say, happy wife equals happy life.
Ugh, you're so lame.
So help us out by joining our Discord and subscribing wherever you get your podcasts. The Spiteries review is available now from SPNet. Hello everyone, and welcome to the Omega Metroid Podcast from OmegaMetroid.com. My name is Andy Spiteri, reunited with Duminal Crossing. What's up, Doom? How are you?
Pretty good. You know, I was just talking to you before the show started. You know, I'm finally starting to do some gaming again. I haven't really gotten to do a lot of that since the move-in. But yeah, I started playing Spider-Man Remastered recently, and I knew I was going to have a good time with this one. You know, my friend gifted this to me on Steam. It was one that I wanted to pick up for a while.
We're talking like the PlayStation 4 Spider-Man, right?
Yeah, PS4, yeah. PS5 Spider-Man. Yeah, and like I knew it was going to be a fun time, but man, this game is just exceeding my expectations. I am having such a blast with this game right now. It's one of those games where you go to bed and you just keep thinking about it over and over again. Or, you know, you're playing it and you're like, I should go to bed. I'll just do one more hour. And then an hour later comes, just one more hour, one more side quest. You know, we'll do something small. And it just keeps going and going. And, yeah, I think the biggest surprise for me with that game is the combat. It's so simple, but there's a steep learning curve. And once you start unlocking some of the perfect dodge abilities, like, it's just so satisfying to get those timings right. And, you know, you start becoming invincible. You're just going all over the place, just beating up like 3-4 people at the same time that are all trying to attack you. The animation is fluid too, so you look stylish doing it. The writing is really compelling.
Yeah, I feel like it's an Arkham game, kind of, in that way. Like, it basically is an Arkham game, except with Spider-Man.
Yeah, it definitely has a lot of Arkham elements, but I also feel like it really stands on its own. It also is super influenced by, I'm not sure if you played the Spider-Man 2 movie game on, like, the PS2, Xbox, and GameCube, but there's a lot of inspiration from that game, too, which I really enjoy.
Mm.
And yeah, it just, I really don't have any critiques so far, other than I've gotten like a couple of PC crashes, but honestly, that hasn't hampered my enjoyment at all. And I'm really excited. I'm probably going to play Fallout 3 next, because I've also been slowly watching the show and I've really been enjoying that. So that's probably next on my list.
I have that Fallout show on my docket of things to watch. Eventually, we're going to cover it for Virtual Theater. And, you know, I keep on hearing how good it is, and I'm not really into Fallout at all, so we'll see. But yeah, you know, I enjoyed Spider-Man. I thought that it was a fun game. I don't know if I loved it as much as you did, but I thought that it was, like, quite enjoyable. And if I had a PS5, I think I'd have probably picked up the sequel just to mess around in it or whatever. It was a fun game. I'm playing Crisis Core, which is, like, the Final Fantasy VII prequel, because I just beat the OG Final Fantasy. I was kind of in the mood for a little bit more Final Fantasy. I don't know how I feel about this game. It's kind of like a Warriors style game almost. It, for all the good and bad that entails, and like it's also got like the over the topness of Advent Children for all the good and bad that entails. So it's kind of like, I don't know. I'm gonna stick with it and I'm gonna finish it, but I don't know if I'll ever play it again after I'm done.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, but Crisis Core, Advent Children, that's the only Final Fantasy lore that I know. So, because I've seen Advent Children, but I haven't played Final Fantasy VII before. So I only know like little bits and pieces from the game itself. So yeah, obviously didn't understand a thing that was going on Advent Children.
Nobody understands but the final, what's going on.
That's the vibe I've gotten. I will say the final battle was pretty cool and pretty fun animation. And it was I saw that after the Sephiroth reveal trailer too. So it was fun seeing like all the little references in that in that trailer when it dropped.
And that's the thing, like it's really fun. It's stylish. It looks cool. And that's pretty much all it needs to be, right? Like, you kind of look at it, you're like, this doesn't make a damn lick of sense, but who cares? It's fun. It's cool. It sounds cool. So it's like, whatever. Let's have a good time. And it's kind of the Crisis Core vibe a little bit as well. But that's what I've been. You know what? Actually, sorry. One last thing. I got my wife hooked on Dr. Mario. Classic OG Game Boy Dr. Mario. And so have I. Man, there's just something so satisfying about a good classic game of Dr. Mario, you know? It's a shame that they got rid of the mobile game that they had for Dr. Mario. And for some reason, they still got, like, Pikmin Bloom and Fire Emblem. It's like, Dr. Mario was, like, made for mobile. I don't know what they're doing there. Bring that back.
Yeah, I didn't even play it that much, but, like, it feels like a weird game to shut down. It's, like, that perfect genre for mobile phones.
Yeah.
Fire Emblem Heroes makes sense because that game makes a ton of money from like the microtransactions and the skins and whatnot. But like, not really my cup of tea, though. I'm not really a Fire Emblem guy to begin with, but maybe someday.
Yeah, you know, for what it is, I actually thought that Fire Emblem Heroes was pretty decent, but it's definitely a game that you got to pour some money into if you're going to get your best bang for your buck. But nevertheless, let's get started here. So we have a classic ranking show. God, I just love ranking stuff sometimes. Sometimes you're just in the mood for an easy peasy ranking. And, you know, we had some ideas about some things that we potentially were going to do last week. And I ended up being sick last week. And then our schedule kind of got a little bit mixed up. So the episode was late. So sorry to everybody for kind of all the crisscrossiness of last week. But we're going to do what we were going to do then this week. And we're going to be ranking all of the various escape sequences in the Metroid series here. Before we get there, though, I actually didn't have an opportunity to listen to last week's show just because it was a little bit late and you guys actually took care of everything, so I didn't even need to edit it and nothing like that. So I still haven't listened to it yet, but I mean, pretty big news. Pretty big news that came out last week and probably means a lot more for Metroid than any other series here because, like, as I'm sure you guys talked about, you know, 1 a.m., this is Furukawa into dropping
favorite
Switch
kind of
news.
Nintendo tweets.
I love that, man. There's something about, like, this is Miyamoto, this is Furukawa. It's just, it's so incredible. It's, and I don't know what it is, but it's just, it charms me. But, so there's a few key words in there that I thought stood out to me, which was, number one is that, we're going to have a Nintendo Direct in June, and I guarantee you it's going to be in the week that I'm away in New York. I guarantee it. I know it in my bones, so that's one thing. But the second thing was that Furukawa said that they're going to have an announcement on the Switch 2 within the fiscal year, which ends in March 2025. We might not be hearing about this thing until February 2025. And even if they announce it February 2025... that bad boy might not be coming out till like November 2025, which seems unbelievable, like an unbelievably long timeline to me. And I'm sure you guys talked about this, but like I'm sitting there and like, unless they've got like a bunch of gems hidden up their sleeves that they're about to roll out to us in June, this could be a long time until that Switch 2 comes out because like we're already in like wind down mode. We've been getting nothing but ports. We haven't had a big game come out since October. I mean, and that's months ago. That's 6 months ago. There's been no big games coming out for the Switch, and we got a potentially another year of this to go. Like, oh my. That stood out to me as like this could be a long time. And that's how you kind of lose momentum going from, and I'm not gonna say that it because of that the next console is gonna be like Wii U, of course not, but like you're gonna lose a lot of momentum. I think if unless you kind of pump out some big games, and I don't know what those big games are, aside from one, which, you know, makes me makes me even more trepidatious, right? And I'm sure you guys talked about it, but like, I don't know. I'd say the chances of Metroid Prime 4 coming out for Switch just went up.
I'm still standing strong that it's going to be a cross-gen release title.
I am too, but the percentages went up.
A little more. Yeah, yeah. Dak is definitely a little more on the fence now. I can't remember what his exact percentage was. I think it was like 60-40, where it was like 60, it's still cross-gen, 40% that it releases at least on Switch first. Maybe it gets like an upgrade later on Switch too, but...
I think no matter what, and our pal Joey Ferris, I was talking to him earlier today, and we were chatting about this. We've been fighting about this forever, and and he's like, listen, release it on the Switch when there's no competition, and re-release it on the Switch 2 later. I can see the logic, but I don't agree with that. I think that it is missing the bigger overall point where like you release it exclusively on the Switch 2, or even cross-gen. Release it on the Switch 2. If you buy Switch 2, like, hey, you got like a month to buy this game at launch, and then maybe after that you buy your Mario Kart or Animal Crossing, whatever have you. The big game. That Metroid obviously is not, but like, yeah, I don't know. Like, if we're talking about an announcement that is coming in, and listen, maybe the announcement is going to be coming earlier, like October, November, and it doesn't release like so far away, but like that was pretty specific wording that they'll have an announcement before the end of the fiscal year, which leads me to believe it's probably closer to the end of the fiscal year than the beginning. And man, I don't know, like maybe you announce it and even like 6 months like that. I feel like from announcement to release, 6 months is kind of a tight timeline. At best, you're looking at like summer to fall of 2025, which just seems like, oh boy, that's a long time. And what else are you going to release if you don't have any of the... And like I said, unless they have some like gems up their pocket that they're about to drop on us for June. But it's like, if you got games of that caliber, you're probably saving them for the Switch 2, except for Metroid Prime 4. So I don't know if I'd go as high as Dak, but I saw that and I was like, ugh. Like, I think I'm like a 70-30 now. 70 that is cross-gen, launches with the Switch 2, but 30% that I could see it. I could see it.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I agree that like a dry year this year would like be downwards momentum for Switch 2. Because I mean, it's not the only time. 2020 was also a pretty dry year. I think we got like what, Paper Mario, Origami King,
Pikmin 3 Deluxe. Yeah, but
Pikmin 3 Deluxe, phenomenal game. That was my introduction to Pikmin. But
hold on, we have a built-in excuse why 2020 was a weak. To be fair. Right, and like they're basically punting on this entire year, saying like nothing's coming out because the Switch 2 is not ready.
What was it though? Because like those games were already in development. If anything, I would expect 2021 or 2022 to be the years that suffered, because you know those were games that were COVID actually affected development severely of those games that were like, you know, in active development. 2020, a lot of those games were you know in their finishing slates. So I mean, obviously, it still very much affected them. It was a new phenomenon that kind of the entire world was grappling with. And so it definitely changed some things up, at least in terms of announcements, because, you know, we didn't get our traditional directs that year and things kind of, you know, fell all over the place. But I would say even if there wasn't a COVID, I don't think 2020's release schedule would have changed all that much. But I, of course, don't know that for sure. That's just speculation on my part.
Yeah, and like, fair enough. I guess like my point is that I don't really even disagree with, like, 2020 was certainly like a slow year, but they were able to rebound, and I think 2020 had enough titles, like new original titles in that year, certainly leaner than other years. But like I kind of think of like the Wii, for example, started off really hot. And then when it kind of got to the later stages of its life cycle, particularly after they announced the Wii U, like that system just died. Like everything, that, like Skyward Sword, for example, that game died. Nobody bought it. You even look back to like the end of the Super Nintendo's life when the N64 was on the horizon. All those games died. Like the Donkey Kong sequels and even Super Metroid. And some of those games just didn't do all that well because we had the new... You know, we have the new console on the horizon. I guess my point is, like, I feel like the new console now is being on the horizon. That momentum is going to even, like, grind to more of a halt for the Switch, which is already, I feel like, in wind down mode. And like, if we got to extend wind down mode for another like 12 to potentially 18 months, like that's a tall ask in terms of like Nintendo. I feel like this is going to be feeling ice cold. Now, of course, it doesn't matter. Like, if they launch with like a bunch of awesome games, like then they're going to be hot again. But like, just it feels like it's cold right now, like really cold.
I'm not too worried about it, because especially like, you know, the other consoles you mentioned, like there was a year decline on, you know, total software sales and that. I mean, whereas, you know, we just had our financial report, you know, software sales on Switch are still doing extremely hot right now. You know, Dak and I were talking about it, that I believe the Switch, the profits during the Switch's lifetime surpassed Nintendo's combined profits up to that point in the NES era. Yeah. And that's with factored inflation factored in as well, which is kind of to put in context how successful the Switch has been for Nintendo. And so while, yes, we are going to see, you know, an overall decline in sales, I think Nintendo is still in a healthy enough spot, you know, to hold the fort down before Switch 2.
Yeah. I mean, like, listen, they could release the Wii U 2 like that and, you know, have another bomb of a console. I'm not worried about the health of Nintendo. Just like, I do think that like momentum can transfer from like console to console a little bit, right? Depending on what you launch with. So I don't know. We'll see. It just seems like a long time to wait as considering that for the last 6 months we've kind of had like we've just kind of had like ports and B to C level tier releases, and if we've got another year of that, unless they drop Metroid Prime 4, it's like, I don't know. That's we'll see, I guess. I'm expecting a couple more titles like Super Mario RPG or whatever, just like remakes of games that we already know and like and are safe. And I guess that's not the worst thing, but it's also not the most exciting thing, I think, either. So
yeah, especially if you've already played those games. And I'll admit I'm in a different boat as well, because, you know, I was talking with Dak about this. You know, Luigi's Mansion 2 is the one Luigi's Mansion game I haven't played yet, so now this is a perfect opportunity for me to complete that trilogy.
Yeah.
Thousand Year Door, I just played Mario RPG as my very first turn-based RPG, loved it, and now it's like, you know what, I want more Mario RPGs. I can't wait to jump into this one now.
Yeah. And you know what, and there's probably more people like you than like me, who've kind of been with it for a long time and what have you, but just getting back to the point, the point in all of this game discussion is, to bring it back to Metroid, is like, I feel like the chances of Metroid Prime 4 releasing for the Switch before the Switch 2 went up. Now, I think that they'd probably re-release it to the Switch 2 later, no matter what, but like, that seems tough, but I guess we'll see. We will see. Thank you for allowing me to just share some quick thoughts about the Switch 2 and everything like that. Let's get over to what we're here to talk about today. A nice old fashioned ranking episode. And it's been a while, I feel like, since we did one of these. And by God, I'm excited to do this. I think we pitched this a while ago. We didn't do it, and then we put it on the shelf, and then we brought it back. And I'm pretty stoked about this, actually. So we're going to be ranking all of the various escape sequences in the Metroid series. One of the most proud traditions of this fabled franchise, actually. So I'm excited to get going here. And I kind of figure, how do you want to do this, Doom? Do you want to do it like definitive style? We'll go through one by one, rank them like one, and then, you know, insert the next one either above, below, etc.
Yeah, that's kind of how I was thinking we do it.
All right.
Also, we should really embrace the bit and just do every single escape sequence within 8 minutes or less. I'm kidding.
Wow.
We shouldn't actually do that.
I 8 minutes is feasible, actually. Like, I think if we had 3 minutes or less, like, that's a speed run of a podcast right there. So I think that we've collected all of them here, I believe. And so by my count, across all of the 2D games, all of the Metroid Prime games, we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 escape sequences. And maybe if we have time at the end, we can throw in a bonus one from AM2R. We'll see what it looks like. There's a lot to get to here. So I guess I suggest that we just get rolling. Actually, you know what? And we totally forgot one, because there is there's actually another one from Zero Mission that that we left off as well. So we'll get that one added as well. Okay, well let's get rocking and let's get rolling here, and get us kicked off. We should talk about NES, Metroid NES, Nestroids escape sequence, the classic escape sequence, the mother of all escape sequences here. Now, I feel like this one is a really good escape sequence. Granted, it's very simple, right? But there's something about it, A, because it's the first one that I feel like I want to give it a little bit of respect on its name. B, I actually think even though it's simple, it's kind of hard. Because when you're jumping, there's very small platforms, and everybody knows what room I'm talking about. There's that ginormous room in Torian with all the different platforms. Some of them are really small. So I think that jumping in Nestroid is a little bit tougher than maybe your average game. And I don't remember how long they give you actually, but I do feel like it was a little bit, I was just like, oh, come on, I gotta get this going here. So I think that this is like a good middle of the pack escape sequence for me. I don't know. I'd like it. It definitely helps that this is the first one, right? Like it's the first escape sequence, and it's the one that kind of grandfathered the rest. So I'm giving it a little bit of respect on its name that way. What do you think about this particular escape sequence?
Yeah, I like this one, and I pretty much for the same reasons you said. I really like the I feel like this is one of the more challenging escape sequences. Part of that is, you know, due to, you know, the natural challenge of controlling Samus in Metroid 1. But also, like you said, the platforms in this are really tiny, and, you know, you really feel the stakes as you're climbing this long vertical shaft. And it's pretty ironic in a game that's filled with vertical shafts, you'd think you'd get sick of them. But I think this is probably the one where it, like, really pays off, you know? You know, I'm almost waiting to hear "what a thrill" as you're climbing up to the top, you know. but yeah, I really like this one. Of course, Hirokazu Tanaka's incredible escape theme that has appeared in multiple games since then. He's still my favorite escape theme to this day. I absolutely love the music here. Mm-hmm. And it's not flashy, it's not a huge spectacle. But I think it's really fun to do though. So I agree. Maybe middle of the pack, maybe just above middle of the pack.
I was gonna say maybe just above middle. I think is where I could see it kind of going here. It's tough. It's a little bit tougher than you might imagine because like you've got the explosions and you've got the other like the screen looks like it's kind of doing its thing there. It's I don't know. It is a little bit tougher. So that one's a quality escape sequence here. And actually, so Doom, we talked before the show and we were kind of compiling our list here. I realized we actually forgot two from Zero Mission because there are two escape sequences from this game. And the first escape sequence is actually a remake of this escape sequence. So it's basically the same thing, just just obviously redone. This one to me is lesser than Nestroid, just because it's like, I don't know, it's the exact same thing, it's the same hallway, it's, you've got like two minutes, and there's very little danger of actually, like, not making it, and there's explosions and everything like that. I think you do have to go a little bit further, though, because you actually have to get to your ship, so you get two criteria, you go to your ship. I personally would probably rank this one though still just a little bit below Nestroid's escape sequence. What about you?
Yeah, I'd say they're pretty even for me. I feel like that bonus section that you just mentioned leading up to criteria to your ship, I think that's a really cool detail, a really cool touch. I do agree with you though, and we kind of talked about this when we were doing our boss rankings for Zero Mission. They're just a little too easy, and I think if you just spice that difficulty up a little bit, that would probably give these we would probably rank these bosses a little higher. And I think the same goes for the escape sequence. I think, you know, you just not too much, but you know, maybe shave off like 30 seconds on that timer. You know, really, you know, to just make those stakes a little bit more.
Yeah,
I feel like that would hammer it in just a bit more. But I think without that, I think I would probably rank NES just a tad higher.
I would too. You know, and I will say, and I'm actually not sure how many other games do this, but Zero Mission in particular does change the amount of time that you have to escape based on your difficulty, which is kind of a nice little touch. But yeah, I would personally put this one below NES for the time being. Well, speaking of Zero Mission, there is another escape sequence, and this is the final one in the game. This is after you defeat Mecha Ridley, and, you know, the thing that sticks out to me about this escape, there's two things that stick out to me, and I'm sure you're thinking the exact same thing. Number one, R2-D2. Number two, those dang gray pirates at the very end that are, like, substantially tougher than like, Mecha Ridley himself. And actually, I guess there's three things, because number three is that there is a Shine Spark puzzle that you can do to just basically bypass the entire shebang, which is pretty cool. But I think you could skip R2 with that, right?
You can skip one of them. So there's an R2-D2 that you need to use to actually set up that Shine Spark. But yeah, there's a whole that whole room after you just completely skip past it. So the Shine Spark, that's the first thing I thought you were gonna say. Actually, I was surprised that was the third one.
I guess that's why I said that.
The Shine Spark for me, like that alone brings this up so much more for me. I think it's a good escape sequence on its own. I like the challenge of the gray pirates at the end that just ambush you. I like that you can't just screw attack them. You actually like. You know, you kind of have to tank some hits. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you have to go head on, you know? I like that. But man, it's that Shine Spark, man. This is, like, one of my favorite Shine Sparks to pull off in the game. When you do, it is so satisfying. You can go through, like, three different rooms. It's the setup is super intricate. And again, like, the timer stakes aren't really there, but the Shine Spark stakes are there. Because if you mess up, you can't go back because all the doors lock behind you. So you only get one chance. And it just makes it feel so much better when you do pull it off.
Yeah. This one, so for now, of the three, I would put it at number one. I think you were at two if I'm hearing you right. This one, though, I don't know if it's like going to end up in like the upper echelon of my escape sequences, though, because I do like the challenge of fighting the gray pirates, but there is something about, man, that waiting for that R2, it's like, oh my god, come on, let's go here, and it kind of halts momentum just a little bit, so I would feel comfortable putting this at number one, NES Troid at number two, and then the original Zero Mission Torian escape sequence at number three. But I don't know how long this is going to be able to hold on to that crown.
See, I don't even factor the R2s, because again, I always take the Shine Spark route every time. And also, a little bit of a hack for the one that you do need to use to set it up. You can use missiles and super missiles to make it go way faster as well.
And maybe that's on me, because I usually just like kind of plow through it. And the other reason too is like you got 5 minutes on normal difficulty to do this, so it's like, I don't know, I guess I could just wait and have you move out of the way and still like have more than enough time. But I don't know. This one's fine to me. Definitely the number one that we have right now. We'll see how this list shakes out. Let's go over to Super Metroid. And we got our first escape sequence over in the Ceres Space Colony at the very beginning of the game. This is very simple, as it should be. It takes place literally as the game starts. So, I mean, like, you don't want it to be too, too intense. But, I mean, like, it's that being said, I think you've only got, like, a minute to get out of there, which can be a little bit stressful, especially as the smoke is hitting you and the screen starts to, like, tilt a little bit and whatnot. A very basic escape sequence. I'm not going to try and claim that it's like one of the better ones, but like for what it is and like the opening tutorial, I actually don't mind it. I think it's pretty decent. And I really like the way that the screen kind of shifts on you as you go up. It kind of gives a really cool like vibe of like the space colonies act like the spaceship is actually like kind of falling or like twisting or something. I think that's a really, really cool little touch.
Yeah, that's pretty much I'm 100% with you on this one. The whole intro sequence, like they show off so much Super Metroid tech. Like you have the Mode 7 when you do that Ridley flyby when he goes up into the screen. That blew my mind the first time I played that as a kid. I'm pretty sure I talked about that during our 30th anniversary retrospective. And then yeah, when you get to that last that elevator room, you know, it starts to tilt on its side and it makes platforming a little difficulty while the steam is all trying to halt your momentum. I don't know, man. I think this one, despite how simple it is, I think this one is awesome. Like it's definitely more of a spectacle piece, but I mean, because of that low timer, there is a little bit of that stress, like you mentioned before. I don't know. I might actually put this at number one.
I'm fine with that. Like, I personally, of our current list. Yes.
Yeah.
I kind of dig it. Like, I think that it's, again, for what it is. And there's something, too, about, like, 59 seconds. It's just kind of like, oh, I better move, even though it's, like literally, it's going to take you a couple of seconds to get out of there. But it's kind of got everything that the NES and Zero Mission Taurian escape sequences have. And, like, you have to climb up platforms. There's hazards. But the atmosphere, I think, is pretty cool. So I would actually be totally fine putting it at number one. For now, if you wanted to do that.
Yeah, yeah. I'm thinking number one for now, yeah.
Well, I dare say I don't know how long it's going to be at number one, because the second escape sequence from Super Metroid is, of course, the ending of the game. And this is kind of like a retelling of the Nestroid escape sequence. However, it is a lot harder. You have 3 minutes, which I think is like a fair time. And you got to go a little bit further. You got to go up through Taurian. You got to get to Criteria. But of course, the thing about this particular escape sequence is the enduring legacy that it has created, in that you can save your friends or you cannot save your friends. For that alone, like, I feel like this is like going to be at or near the top of our final list, because that's like such an important like piece of, like, I don't even know what the right word, like, not lore, but like it's just such an important part of Super Metroid, you know, and it's fantastic.
And it's so cool, because it's this weird obscure detail that, yeah, like I don't know, I've never read the Super Metroid strategy guide, but like, was that even in there? Like, how did people like find that? How did people like, oh yeah, I'm gonna just, you know, stop by the Morph Ball Bombs room on the way out, like, just for no reason.
I mean, it's one of the only pathways that's open, so I'm sure that's how somebody was like, all right, a couple minutes, let me explore. It's good stuff. But
yeah, there's that. I also love how the Hyper Beam just annihilates all the doors in a way. There's something so satisfying about that. Or plowing through, like, armies of space pirates with your speed booster. That's always a good time. I can't remember. Is there like an acid rising sequence like in Lower Norfair? I can't remember for some reason.
No, I don't believe so. There's just I believe that there's just like your standard like countdown that's going on. There's not like any kind of acid that rises or anything like that. So like you can fall in that in the big room in Taurian and then come back, but it's still pretty intense. I feel like but really, like the coup de grace of this one is the save your friends. Like, either save your friends or don't save your friends. And it's almost like a different conversation, but like it really adds, like, you know, even like when we play Super Metroid, like we did our Omega Metroid stream a couple years ago, we were raising some money, and that was a big thing. Like, still to this day, save your friends or kill the animals or save the animals. Like, what are you gonna do? And it's just, you know, it's such a, I don't know, it's such a simple thing, but it's added so much to this game that it's hard for me just to look at it almost objectively as like its standalone escape sequence versus like everything that has been come out of it as a result of that, you know?
Yeah, Samus would literally not be alive in Metroid Dread had she not saved the animals in Super.
Yeah, I mean, there you go. So that is canon, by the way, that we save our friends. We gotta save them. Would it be fair to put this at number one?
I think so, yeah. I think we've made a great case for that so far.
Okay, well, let's go over to Metroid Fusion, and let's talk about some of those escape sequences there, because there's two different escape sequences that are available in the game. The first comes, you know what? I guess technically there's three, actually. There's three escape sequences, because you got the restricted zone, too, technically.
That is true.
Yeah. No, but anyway, we'll get there. The first one that you need to do is going to Sector 3, and if you've heard this before, it's like emergency, evacuate, whatever the ship says over and over and over, which sounds like I don't like it, but actually I do. I really like that adds like a little bit of urgency to the escape. It's like the whole ship is like, this is not good. We are about to explode. And I think that that's a pretty easy escape sequence. You do go in, and I believe this is your first time in, like, the fiery depths of Sector 3. Is that? I think that's right. Like, you've been in Sector 3, but not the bottom.
Exactly, yeah.
I think that this is a good escape sequence. If I were ranking it on our list so far, I'd probably slot it in at number 2 or number 3, just depending on what you say. I think it's like it's a long escape sequence, which is kind of nice. I don't remember how many minutes you have off the top of my head. What could put this over the top for me, which doesn't necessarily happen, is that the boss fight that you have to do. This is where you fight the first Korex, and it's kind of like, okay, that's easy enough. It wasn't like super super challenging or whatever, but I don't know. I there's something about the urgency of this one really feels to me like very like we better hurry before things, you know, really start to get bad. And I like that.
Yeah, I really feel like the voice adds a lot to that. And it's surprising because, you know, the GBA doesn't have, you know, great sound quality, great speakers at all. But I feel like the voice comes through pretty clear without like feeling too crackly or distorted. And so, kudos to the sound team that worked on Metroid Fusion for that. The atmosphere is just so great in this one. Of course, we get to fight our favorite little xenomorph aliens as platforms using our ice missiles as we make our way to the wave beam Korex. Everything about every moment in Fusion feels like real, like a really pivotal and significant story moment.
Yeah.
And in this one in particular, you know, we think that there's survivors on board, and we find out that actually this was the last one and we were too late, which is like kind of a dark moment in that game. And Adam literally confirms after we get the wave beam, like that was the last one. We can't find anyone.
Yeah.
We can't find anyone else on here. And so not only is the escape sequence itself good, but like there's like story payoff too and lore payoff as well, which I think is interesting. And it's also just cool in a context how like the X is always working to destroy Samus no matter what the cost. If that means the X on the station died, so be it. Like we got X on SR388. Now we know we got X on ZDR as well. It's all of they consider Samus the biggest threat, and they will do everything, including destroying the station to do it, which kind of makes you feel like a badass. Like, yeah. I'm that important to take down.
It's cool too. Just a few little factoids that I just saw here is number one. So this is the first escape sequence with a boss of any kind, which is kind of neat because that is going to come back into effect later. And then number two is that it's kind of like, I guess, not really an escape sequence per se, but it's more of like a countdown in order to prevent something from happening, which you do. We're just used to calling them escape sequences because that's typically what they are, but this is kind of a different cat than the rest of those, where you're really racing against time to save yourself versus everything else. So yeah, you know, I think if I were to place this on our list, I think I'd go number two.
I'm gonna go number three just because I really like the Shine Spark shortcut in the Zero Mission escape sequence. But I'd probably put it just below that.
I could do it number three. I don't feel like that strongly about it, but I do like this one. So let's put Sector 3 over in the number 3 spot, fittingly. So what about this one? This is a really, really tiny one. This is when Samus gets to the restricted zone. The SAX is going absolutely nuts, destroying all the Metroids. And you know, this one's kind of cool, actually, because you got to... I think you've only got about a minute. Now, it's a very, very tiny escape sequence. But this is kind of neat, because this is really the only time in Fusion that you're interacting with Metroids. And there's, like, actual Metroids there, and you got to get past them. I'm a sucker for in Metroid, like seeing space. Like, I just think it's cool. And like that's one of my favorite things about the restricted zone. So I can't in good conscience like rate this like super, super highly, but I don't know. Maybe I could maybe go above Zero Mission Taurian for this. What are your thoughts? What do you think?
I'd probably put it in last, but I just because as an escape sequence, you know, it is literally one room length. You just have to make it to the door. That's it. But it is really awesome. It's really like the story implications are awesome. Like you said, I'm pretty much in agreement with you. I love space in Metroid, and any opportunity we get to, like, you know, whether we're on a station and we can like see space from the outdoors, or it's like a cutscene that's in space, you know, I always get a kick out of it because, you know, it makes you feel so tiny. And it's like, man, I am protected by this thin layer of wall between this void of no oxygen that could just end me in seconds. But I am here by a thread. And there's something so fascinating and eerie about that in Metroid that I absolutely love. Man. And of course, the whole sequence. Yeah, go on.
I was just going to say, sorry, this is completely off topic, but like, you talk about feeling tiny. Did you see the Northern Lights the other night? Holy cow.
No, Cal. I was working, unfortunately, so I couldn't see it. And on top of that, California, we I don't think it was in our path, at least where we're located in California. So at least we didn't get like some of the good views. I saw your photo, though. That was gorgeous.
It was unreal, man. And that was just in my backyard. It was like, it was unbelievable. One of the coolest things I've ever seen, actually, I think. But yeah, anyways, I would invite you on that. It's a pretty... It's a pretty small, I mean, we forgot that it was even there until like 2 seconds ago. So like, I have no problem putting it in last place. That's fine with me. Although there is some pretty cool stuff like peripherally going on there. This is the one that I was really excited to talk about for Metroid Fusion. And I think I would fight for this one a little bit. And that's the final escape sequence here. And it's not like a big escape sequence. You basically go from the observation or not. Yeah, the operation deck. That's what it is. To where your ship is, but a lot of cool stuff that happens there. And this is like, this is kind of a cool sequence, I think, in Metroid Fusion, because it's taking like the story final boss battle of Super Metroid, doing the same thing, but adding a timer in that escape sequence to get you out of there. If this was like a legit battle and less of a story battle, and unless I guess you could still lose to the Omega Metroid once you kind of got like the, I don't know. I don't even know what the SAX suit, but like, not really. You'd have to be trying pretty hard to lose that battle. I might be arguing for number one, but I would strongly say that this of our current list right now should be number two, because I think that this is a really kind of like cool escape sequence. It's probably more because of what takes place during the escape sequence than the escape sequence itself, but I still think it's pretty cool, man.
For me, I agree with you, but maybe not as strongly. To me, I feel like this is another middle of the pack one, for the same reasons. I totally agree. The atmosphere is great. The storytelling of this fight is awesome. But at the end of the day, it's the escape sequence, and as an escape sequence, it's fine. I think it's fine. I really like some of the environmental changes, actually. That foreshadows the Omega Metroid. You can actually see some of this during the 100% sweep as well, where you see like, you know, a Metroid carcass or like an egg lying around, but like you'll you'll go into like some of the hallways leading back to your ship, and like, you know, they'll be all dinged up and destroyed, and you'll see like some metal gratings like torn out, and so there's a little bit of foreshadowing that you encounter, and then you enter the ship room and it's just blown to hell and back. And so I think that, and so, and that's something Metroid Fusion does really well with its environmental storytelling, and I think that is like, you know, in full gear during this escape sequence, which I really like. Mm-hmm. And so there's definitely a lot of good things going for it, but I think there's a lot of stiff competition as well at the end of the day. And so I still would probably put it in the middle of the pack for me.
I think I'm going to fight for it for number two. I think that the inclusion of the Omega Metroid is awesome. I just like, this is more so the story than what the actual escape sequence is, because the escape sequence is pretty basic. You don't fight anything, there's no obstacles, but like, man, like in that escape sequence, like while it's taking place, you've got the death of the SAX, who's like completely forgot about you to go focus on the bigger threat of the Omega Metroid, which there's an Omega Metroid on, you know, on the deck, which is unbelievable. I really like it. Like, and I really like when Metroid does storytelling like that while it's like during the course of the game, like during the action. It reminds me of Super Metroid. Now, I think Super Metroid does storytelling so well in that it takes place during the game. How about this? If not number two, I would put it below both of the Super Metroid escape sequences.
I think the one that I'm gonna fight for is still gonna be that Zero Mission one. I just really love that Shine Spark puzzle at the end. That Shine Spark puzzle is so fun to pull off. Like, I have probably beaten Zero Mission hundreds of times now. When I was in high school. I remember beating that game 3 times in one day. And that Shine Spark sequence might be my favorite part of the game. It is so satisfying to it's such a tiny piece, I know. But my God, like the adrenaline rush and the endorphins that I get when I do it is on another level.
Yeah, but like, man, the amount of setup that you have to do in order to do it, like you don't even really save time by doing it. I don't think. And like the amount of people that actually do it, I don't know. I'm fighting for my Omega Boy here. I would listen. How about this? This is the last compromise. I would put this below Sector 3, but above Zero Mission Mecha Ridley. That's what I could do. Although that one pains me to do. I just like, man. I love the ending of Metroid Fusion. I think it's fantastic.
I mean, I agree. I think it's great. I think the ending is wonderful, and the escape sequence is fine for what it is. I don't have any problems with it. I just think a lot of the escape sequences are better. That's all.
I don't know. I just can't do it.
I'm willing to compromise. I'm willing to compromise just so that we can move on to the next one.
We'll have to come back and listen. We'll rank it above Zero Mission, but that means that I'm gonna have to give you something when we get to another one that's in debate here. What we should probably do too is recap our list before we continue. So at number one, we got Save Your Friends escape sequence from Super Metroid's ending. Number two, Sarah's Space Colony from Super Metroid. Number three, Sector 3 from Metroid Fusion. Number four, the Omega Metroid Fusion ending from, obviously, Metroid Fusion. Number five, Zero Mission's final escape sequence after Mecha Ridley. Number six, Nestoroid's escape sequence. Number seven, Zero Mission's Taurian. And number eight is the Restricted Zone from Metroid Fusion. Let's finish up 2D Metroid here. Go to Metroid Dread. Let's talk about the... This is, like, technically not an escape sequence, but it's pretty close to one. It's the Variasuit escape sequence that starts when you are going in Artaria. You're trying to get the Variasuit, and everything kind of starts, like, crumbling around you, overheating, what have you. There's no timer, so, like, by the letter of the law, it's not an escape sequence. But you still need to be fast. You need to be pretty fast. I thought that this was, like a fun one. Probably... not going to be pushing for my top spot, but it's a fun, short, little pulse of an adventure, I feel like.
I really like this one, and I guess I'll spoil my thoughts on the next one. I actually think this is better than the final escape sequence of the game, which is also good, by the way. I really like the final escape sequence, but there's something so fun about literally the... you know, you're trying to make your way on this one path and everything in front of you is just getting destroyed and constantly changing your path. And, you know, you know, after you play Metroid Dread enough, you know, you start to memorize, you know, where everything is going to fall and it starts to become less of a surprise. But like the first couple of times you play it, like it catches you off guard and you're like, whoa, I gotta, you know, change my plans on the fly. And, you know, oh, and I gotta more fall in this crevice that's created. Oh, no, now there's a fire. Now I gotta jump up here. And everything is just changing on the fly. And all the while, you know, you have the heat and the pressure building up that's like, you know, slowly melting your health away. This is a hell run done right. This is pretty much, this is how you do what Other M failed to do, in my opinion. And I think it pulled it off flawlessly.
If you were slotting it on the list, where would you put it?
If I was slotting it on the list, probably below Sector 3 Fusion somewhere. Definitely below Sector 3, somewhere in that list. I'd probably below Zero Mission too. Probably below Zero Mission if I'm being real, but just below Zero Mission.
Okay, well that's fine. We can go Artaria Variasuit escape sequence and slot that in. Let's talk about the final escape sequence from Metroid Dread. I think that this is good, but again, like, it's really just because you have the Hyper Beam and you have the Metroid suit, and it's awesome. Like, and you feel incredible. I actually have to admit to you, this is one escape. The first time I played Dread, I actually didn't make it because I was just, like, schmucking around and blowing stuff up, and I was like, I don't know, I figured I had more time than I did, and I was like, oh, shoot, I should actually, like, probably get going here. And so I did, and I got kind of turned around, and I was like, oh, my God, am I really going to, like, have to redo this? And so I was like, whatever. I'm just gonna keep schmucking around and blowing stuff up. And I was just taking a bunch of pictures of Samus in her Metroid suit. So I think that like this is a cool one, a nice middle of the pack, but really. Again, like, not for the actual escape sequence itself, but just because, like, you're finally, like, you're overpowered, you've got this amazing, awesome new suit, you've got this hyper beam, you look incredible, it looks awesome. And what do you think? We've got 3 minutes here, I want to say, so more than enough time after the fact, but I like this escape sequence. It's not going to be pushing for number one for me, but I think that it's fun.
Yep, that's pretty much where I line to. There is some really fun shine sparking potential that you can do. It's really tight. Yeah. There. Our man Torvis, the dread shine sparking expert, has some videos showing him just doing some absolutely ridiculous chains with the shine spark. So that's pretty awesome and fun. But yeah, otherwise I think it's solid, but you know, not one that I'm gonna be fighting very hard for.
I actually think that it's probably better than the Arteria one, to be honest, just because it's like a legit escape sequence in the Metroid. I feel like the Metroid suit adds for me. If I were putting it on our list, I'd be looking at it at number 5, above Zero Mission, below Metroid Fusion Ending. But what say you? Where would you slot it?
I'm absolutely not putting it above Zero Mission. I'll just tell you that up front. That is not. I will not. Maybe that's where I'll use my freebie on, because I'm not letting.
That's where it needs to be then. Okay.
Yeah. I'm not letting that go above Zero Mission. But
think that the Zero Mission one is that good. Like, I don't know what it is.
I don't know. I think the root's fun, and I'll be real again. I feel like the Shine Spark really does carry it. But I mean, boy, does it! It's a strong carry.
I mean, I guess like I feel like Shine Spark, one of many Metroid suit, only time you've ever seen it. Like,
Metroid. Yeah. I mean, it's cool. Don't get me wrong. And I also love the little Easter egg where it's like, you know, just like how Samus like destroys the Kraid X parasite. Any X parasites that the beam touch will also get disintegrated as well.
So good.
That's such a cool Easter egg and as well. But yeah, I don't think there's a single. Well, I take that back. There's one game that I do think has some bad escape sequences later on.
Oh, there's some bad escape sequences.
For the most part, I think most, if not all, Metroid escape sequences are pretty solid. But there's just a lot of stiff competition.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what. Let's go put it below Zero Mission, which means we're equal now. And let's move on. And that's actually it for the 2D games. Let's go over to, well, the game that's kind of in between, and that is Metroid Other M. And I actually think this escape sequence is awesome. I like it. And I like it for, one, you're... So on the premise, it's ridiculous, because like you're playing a Zero Suit Samus, you're carrying, you've got Adam's helmet, whatever. It's just like, what? Why are we doing this? But man, there's something about it. It's different. I think that it's kind of cool. I don't know. I guess I've got a little bit of a soft spot for it. Like I can't really explain why. I guess maybe it's just the fact that you're playing a Zero Suit Samus and it's something just like unbelievably different that you haven't seen before. But I don't know. I kind of like this escape sequence. I have to admit to you here on this podcast, Doom. Am I crazy? Like, what do you think about this?
I don't think so. I mean, I don't love it, but like, I don't hate it either. It's definitely of my other M critiques. This definitely isn't one of them. So I don't know. I probably wouldn't put it in last. I'd probably put it above our what was it? Our Sector Zero Fusion, our Restricted Zone. I'd probably put it above that. I can't remember what goes above that, but I probably wouldn't rank this above it.
We've got, this is where I would again put this above Zero Mission, to be honest with you.
Oh my gosh.
I just don't think that's a quality escape. It's whatever, but like, I would probably put it towards the upper echelon of this list right now. I don't think I would put, here, looking at our list as it is right now, I'd probably put it in between the ending of Metroid Dread and the Arteria Various Suit escape sequence is where I would be looking at it.
I definitely don't agree with that, but I'll compromise.
Well, I mean, like, so you got Artaria, you've got Nestroid, Zero Mission Taurian, Restricted Zone below that. I guess I wouldn't be too, you know, if you were like, all right, let's put it below Artaria. I would not fight really super hard for that, to be honest with you. I'd rather save my battles, but I don't know. I think, like, I don't know. It's just different. I like it. And for me, like, different counts for a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I said, I don't hate it by any means. So,
okay.
I'm fine with it wherever.
You know, and the other thing too, I guess, about this escape sequence is, like, generally speaking, I think if you were to ask a lot of people, they would tell you that, like, after the credits roll in Metroid Other M, that's the best part of the game, like, going back, fighting Fantoon, having free access to the ship. So, like, maybe it's a little bit, you know, a little bit biased there as well, because, like, it's, like, finally, like, the good part of this game is here, and it's, like, kind of an escape sequence, but...
The actual Metroid part of the game.
yeah. Okay, well, before we get into the Prime series here, I feel like we should quickly recap our list for what we have so far. Number one, Save Your Friends from Super Metroid, so the ending is Super Metroid. Number two, Sarah's Space Colony from Super Metroid. Number three is Sector 3, still, from Metroid Fusion. Number four, the ending of Metroid Fusion. Number five, Zero Mission's ending. Number six, Metroid Dread's ending. Number seven, Zero Suit Escape from Other M. Number eight, Artaria's Various Suit Escape Sequence. Number nine, Nestroid. Number 10, Zero Missions Taurian, and number 11, the Restricted Zone. Let's go over to Metroid Prime. And I guess we should start with Metroid Prime. And there's only one escape sequence for Metroid Prime, actually, and that comes pretty much at the beginning of the game. It's at the frigate Orpheon. What do you think about this one? You go first.
Yeah, so my thoughts have kind of been all over the place on this one for years, and especially now that I've, you know, been really playing Metroid Prime for the guide. I think the spectacle is all here for this one, but in terms of the actual escape, I think it's kind of weak, actually, which is weird because, I mean, it, you know, our infighting of how awesome Frigate Orpheon is very well known to the public, but yeah, as an escape sequence, and, you know, we were talking earlier about timers, and I think the timer is just way, way too lenient and easy on this one. I think it's like a 6 or 7 minute timer. Like you can get to your ship with like 4 minutes on the clock.
I'm pretty sure it's 7 minutes.
Yeah. And I definitely think like even more lenient than Zero Mission of all games. And so I would have shaved a few minutes off, even on the easier difficulties. I would have shaved a few minutes off on this one.
Yeah.
I love the atmosphere. I love how the path kind of just, you know, things just explode and that kind of, you know, changes your route on where to go. Obviously, it's all scripted, but, you know, still, like, it, you know, it feels like it's all, you know, it's happening naturally and you're just kind of, you know, MacGyvering and improvising your way, you know, through the guts of the ship, you know, mm-hmm. you know, back to your own ship, which I think is pretty awesome. The Meta Ridley introduction is awesome. Kenji Yamamoto's unique escape music in here is really awesome. But yeah, the escape itself, you're there's really, not only is the timer not doing much, but there's also just not a lot that you're, there's not a lot of stuff you're actually doing besides continuously running. Like, yeah, you'll fight a couple of auto turrets. Yeah, you can use the morph ball to go through the air vent tunnels a little bit faster. And then there's the grapple beam section after you meet Ridley, but otherwise you're not really doing that much. And so honestly, I think this goes into the lower half of the list for me, if I'm being honest. Still a good escape sequence, but again, stiff competition.
I'm glad to hear you say that, because I was just like, that was my thought, and I was like, oh, Doom's going to take a dump all over me when I say this. I kind of agree, and I think the problem with it is that it's also like sort of a tutorial still. Like you learn how to use the grapple beam during this. Like there's zero urgency. Like you know, it's like you're gonna make it. There's no chance that you don't make it. I don't know what you'd have to do to not make this escape, but like, there's zero urgency. It's at the beginning of the game, and that can work. Like Sarah's Space Colony, I feel like is fantastic, but this one I feel like is lacking. I was actually going to suggest that we might stick it below Artaria for Metroid.
I'm totally fine with that, yeah.
Okay. Well, this might be the only time in the history of this podcast where you can look at a list of ours to see other M better than Metroid Prime. But by God, there it is. Well, let's go over to Metroid Prime 2, and from one of the worst, I feel like, to one of the best. I think that this is a unbelievable escape scene. And you know why? It's because there is tension. You know, you defeat the Ink Queen, you gotta get the hell out of Dark Aether, and all of a sudden you've got, first of all, you've got this unbelievable looking version of Dark Samus, who's like skeleton-y and all, like, oh man, she looks awesome. But like, and then you have that battle with her, which, like, it's probably the weakest of the three, like, right? Like, it's probably the weakest of the three battles, but, like, man, that timer just really adds to it, and it covers up for a lot of the, like, shortcomings, I guess. And the battle is fun, that timer is ticking down, I believe this is the first time that the final boss has done that. Technically, Metroid Fusion did that first, but, like, this felt like a legit, like, I could lose in this boss battle. And not only could I lose to Dark Samus, but I could probably run out of time, too. So I think it's, like, really, really tense. This is, like, up there for my ranking. And I'm trying to decide exactly how up there it's going to be. Let me listen to your take here, Doom, and we'll kind of assess after that.
Yeah, let me backtrack to Metroid Prime for just a moment, just for a quick 15-second little ramble, but I really feel like Metroid Prime needed an escape sequence during the finale. I don't like how after you defeat Metroid Prime, it just kind of cuts to you going back to the surface again. I really felt like that was missing from that finale, and so I'm so happy that Echoes has that, because this is my number one pick, baby. I love this. I love this one so much. It's so good. This is honestly probably my favorite Metroid finale of all time, when you include the Emperor Ying fight and the escape sequence together. But oh my gosh, I love it. I love Kenji Yamamoto's new take on Hirokazu Tanaka's escape theme. I love how the siren is actually incorporated into the music, and it's playing on these offbeats. You know, it's such a cool little detail that's there. Dark Samus looks absolutely wicked, and I love how her design almost has these allusions to the Metroid Prime core form as well.
Yes.
The fight itself, as simple as it is, it's also really unique in how you defeat her, and you have that timer just blaring and going off. But it's not like Samus Returns where it's like annoying blaring. It's like hyperactive tension blaring in like a good way. Yeah, I freaking love this escape sequence. And again, it's technically only like what, three rooms, but like again, because of that Dark Samus fight at the end, like it brings that up to another level.
Yeah, I think it's fantastic. So I was deliberating where I was going to put this. And so I was either going to put it at number 2 or I was going to put it at number 1. It's really close for me, like, because, like, I just think that there's so much weight that goes into Save Your Friends. Like, it's just such a classic. But, like, this one, in terms of, like, tenseness, that this has got to be up. Like, I don't think anything really comes close to the feeling where it's like, I might not make it. Like, so I don't know. If you're arguing for number 1, I could listen to that argument, I think.
I would be willing to compromise and still put the Super Metroid finale at 1. But yeah, in terms of like the tension, because like Samus has escaped exploding planets before. Now Samus has to escape an exploding planet in an alternate dimension. And there's something about that, too.
Yeah.
That just it feels otherworldly in a way that like really only Metroid can do.
You know what? We're going to put it number 1, damn it. We're going to put it at number
Let's
1.
Go.
I mean, like, really, like, it's tense. It really is tense. It's a fantastic escape sequence. Actually, there's one more that might be able to match it, but we'll get to that in just a bit. Let's go ahead and let's talk about Metroid Prime 3, which I don't believe... Is there like a legit escape sequence in this game? Because there's a few like escape sequences, but there's kind of like, I don't know if there's one with like a legit countdown timer. I could be wrong.
So technically, so I was thinking of Skytown first. There actually technically is, you don't see like a visual timer, but when the Leviathan is dropping on Norian
at the beginning of the game,
if you're not Now, most people are going to be fast enough. You have to try to fail that one, but... And even though there's not a timer specifically, you'll hear the Aurora unit in the intercom counting down when there's like a minute remaining. And if you just stand still and you don't go there, you'll actually fail. You'll the time will actually expire. So maybe that one technically does count. I think that one's more of a I think that one's less of a cool escape sequence and more just like a really cool Easter egg. Like, yeah, you're probably not going to fail it. And it doesn't market itself as an escape sequence, but you can fail it if you dilly-daddle. So I think it's more of a cool Easter egg. More than anything.
And like, I was thinking of that Norian escape sequence, because like, I guess technically escape sequence, because like, there is some urgency when you fight Meta Ridley as well, because you have to defeat Meta Ridley in the tunnel before you go splat and hit the ground. But that also doesn't technically have a timer itself either. Maybe we could combine the two, just like the opening sequence, like the Meta Ridley and Norian. I don't know. Would that be fair, I guess?
I might be fine with it because it's technically not a timer, but you do have, you know, numbers counting down and, you know, you have a specific time limit that you have to beat Meta Ridley in. And again, you kind of have to try to fail it. You're probably not going to die here. But I mean, it's the fight itself is a really good fight, as I believe we talked about in our Ridley boss fight.
Yeah, it's an incredible fight, actually. But I think in terms of like an escape sequence, this would be pretty low because technically it's kind of not really an escape sequence, you know, like I don't know. You know, I originally when we started the show, I was like, I think Nestroid is like a middle of the pack escape sequence. It's like third to last. It would be in the bottom. It would be below Frigidorfian, I think, for sure, because at least that has an escape. I don't know, actually. What do you think? Where would you put Norian?
Honestly, I'd probably put it in last if we're not including Meta Ridley. And maybe, I don't know, maybe we just don't include Meta Ridley because that almost doesn't feel fair because that is such a good fight. And like, it feels like it carries the actual escape sequence too much for something that's technically not associated with it. You know what I mean?
I wonder if we should just like not include it then.
I'm fine with not including it.
Let's just not include it because I was originally thinking of Metroid Prime 3 and I was like, what I was thinking of is the Skytown escape sequence, like when you have to, what do you do? You've got all the compartments. You're basically dropping a nuke on the Skytown Leviathan, and I'm pretty sure again, I don't think there's a countdown for this, right? But like you do have to boogie out of there.
There is a countdown, so it's not like a countdown that's on your visor, but like if you look to the side, there's a panel that actually has a timer counting down.
I see.
I'll put this one in last. It's fine. It's really just, you know, a few of the welding puzzles, and that's really about it.
Yeah. I won't really argue with you here. I think that's fine. Especially, I guess, if right now we have the restricted zone as last. I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
I do really, like, that's a really awesome sequence, though, I will say, like, particularly, like, the part where you have to move the thing over the Leviathan, you have to defend it, I think that's a cool sequence, but not necessarily an escape sequence.
Yeah, the actual fight itself, Metroid Prime 3 does a lot of arena-style fights that you would, like, typically see in, like, a classic Quake game, which I think is really awesome. I like Metroid Prime 3's combat focus, as we talked about in our definitive ranking episode last year.
That's right. Okay, so there's one left. Technically, there's actually like eight, but we just combined them into one, and that is the escape sequences from Metroid Prime Hunters. This is going dead last for me.
Yeah, yeah, dead last.
Dead freaking last.
These escape sequences feel like they're in the game for the sake of a Metroid traditional escape sequence.
Yeah.
Doesn't really have a lot going on. At most, you have some enemy ambush placements, but otherwise, you're just retraversing through the exact same areas. And to be fair, I get it. The single player wasn't really the focus of that game. The multiplayer is the big focus. NST didn't really have the resources or the time to make this full-fledged single player, so... They worked with what they have, and I think for what, you know, what they were able to do with their budget and their timeline, I think they still made a solid single player experience. But obviously, you know, there's a lot of cut corners. You know, it's also on the DS, so you know the hardware is, you know, substantially underpowered compared to the GameCube. But yeah, at the end of the day, these escape sequences, they are there at best.
They stink. Let's just call it what it is. They stink. It's and there's eight of them, like, and they're all bad. So it's just kind of like, okay. So by the way, there are no less than seven escape sequences from Metroid Prime Federation Force, and we're not going to rank any of them because nobody cares. So
exactly,
if you are a Federation Force fan, I'm sorry, but you just let us know what order you would rank those in, and we'll weave them into our list. You know what? We haven't been going too long here. I wonder, do we want to activate a bonus mode here and talk about the escape sequence from AM2R?
I think we go for the hundo, the 100% run.
I think we do too, baby. All right, so there is indeed an escape sequence in AM2R. If anyone doesn't know what that is, that's another Metroid 2 remake. Remake, of course, of Metroid 2. And there's a great escape sequence in an area called the Tower. And you go in the Tower, for anybody that's played Samus Returns or Metroid 2, is that one, like, really, really tall area. You can usually switch between beams there. I want to say it's in Sector 5. Or Area 5, rather. I could be wrong, though. Don't quote me. Anyway, so you get to the Tower, and you actually go down below the Tower. There's, like, a little factory, and you go get your power bombs, and you fight this, like, awesome boss there, and it's a pretty intense escape sequence, actually. Like, really intense after. So you fight the boss, you get the power bombs, and, like, I think they go off, and it's, like, everything is about to explode, and you're in this reactor, and you got to get the hell out of there. It's actually, like, a really, really awesome escape sequence, and it's tense. And I don't know what the time is off the top of my head, but I feel like it's not like an outrageous amount of time. Like, it's enough time where you can comfortably get there, but not so much where, like, you're going to have more than a minute by the time that you get to the end, at least in my experience playing it. I would actually rank it pretty high in terms. This is the only one I think that can match Metroid 2 or Metroid Prime 2 in terms of, like, actual tenseness and, like, the I might not make this.
Yeah, this is one of my favorite escape sequences in the whole series. I love this one.
Yeah,
and so there isn't a traditional timer in terms of, like, numbers counting down. Instead, you have a bar that's like, hey, time until it reaches, like, critical max or whatever it says. And it's actually really clever because, so the bar is, you know, is set on a timer beforehand, but then you reach the last room and it'll start once you reach the so the final room has, like, two very slowly opening doors. I think it's like a containment room, like a biohazard containment room or something like that.
Yeah.
And the doors open, like, really slowly, you know, because they're, you know, it's biohazard waste and stuff like that. And the bar will actually start to sync up and creep more because at the very end of the escape sequences, it'll actually go off while you're inside the room.
Yeah,
and you'll
right,
actually
yeah.
go lose health no matter what. And, like, when the smoke clears, you'll see Samus just kind of lying there just after taking a massive hit. That is one of the biggest jaw dropping moments for me in AM2R. That game is filled, like, I know the term subverting expectations is so overused nowadays, but, like, that is, like, AM2R has, like, some of the best subversive moments that you just never expect.
Yeah.
And, you know, just having, like, Samus actually, like, taking, like, the blast of an explosion and surviving too. Like, it is so wild. Like, I kind of just stood there in silence for a moment. I'm like, wait, did I die? Was this scripted?
And right?
And then she gets up and it's like, oh my God, that was insane.
And I've died that before too. Like, cause I was too slow. And the boss fight versus the prototype tank is, like, absolutely incredible. You know, just, like, small things like this, flashing red lights, like there's explosions, like little things that I think can add to an escape sequence. And, I think that this is, like, this would be up there. I would put it at least at number three, and I could hear an argument to put it above Super Metroid. I don't know if I would, just because of the, you know, the legacy of Save Your Friends, but I think it's a strong number three, and I think it would be like decidedly ahead of number four and down.
Yeah, I'm definitely, it's one of those things where today I'm feeling number three, but on another day I could see it all the way up at number one even. It is a phenomenal escape sequence.
Yeah, you know, I could see that. We had this area, the Tower ranked number one in the Great Metroid Area ranking for a long time. And a big part of that was because of this escape sequence and just like how tense and how incredible it is. So, number one is, as I'm sure we say all the time, but like, man, if you haven't played AM2R, you got to go check it out. It's so awesome. And it's not hard to find and it's not hard to play. You don't need a good computer to play it. You really don't.
Yeah. And
in fact, I think you can play it on your phone.
Yeah, you can play it on Android. I'm not sure if you can play it on iOS yet, but you can definitely play it on Android. You can play it on PSP, PS Vita, even if you still have one of those.
Wow.
But yeah, it's a super accessible game, and there's a team still working on it today and slowly patching it up. They haven't released an update in a while, but they are planning on doing. They are currently working on a new update that there's no time frame on when that's going to be released, but they are still working on that game today as we speak. There's also like a really great modding community that does ROM hacks, and there's like a fun multiplayer mod called Multitroid on it as well. Yeah, I cannot recommend AM2R highly enough. If you are especially if you've played like every Metroid game and you were starved for something while we wait for Prime 4, man, you've got to play AM2R, because it's a fan game that doesn't feel like a fan game. It feels like it came right out of NCL headquarters.
I mean, it really does. This game is better than many like legitimate Metroid games. So yeah, check it out. And this escape sequence is awesome. Okay, let's review. At first place, the king of the escape sequences is Dark Aether from Metroid Prime 2. What an escape sequence that is. Absolutely incredible. Number two, Save Your Friends from Super Metroid, so the ending of Super Metroid. Number three, The Tower from AM2R. Number four, Sarah's Space Colony from Super Metroid. Number five is Sector 3 from Metroid Fusion. Number six is the ending of Metroid Fusion with the Omega Metroid. Number seven is the Zero Mission escape sequence after you fight Mecha Ridley. Number eight is the ending of Metroid Dread. Number nine, the Zero Suit escape sequence from Metroid Other M. Number 10, the Artaria Various Suit escape sequence. Number 11, Frigate Orpheon. Number 12, Nestroid. Number 13, Taurian for Metroid Zero Mission. Number 14, the Restricted Zone for Metroid Fusion. 15 is Skytown for Metroid Prime 3 Corruption, and in dead last place, we got Metroid Prime Hunters amalgamated into one, and not even eligible on this list is Metroid Prime Federation Force. Worth mentioning, too, that there's a couple cool little, I guess they're not escape sequences, but like in Smash Bros., you got a little bit of a timer when you fight Ridley. I think Adventure Mode, there was a little bit of something in
Melee. You only get the escape sequence if you actually win the fight with Samus beforehand. If you lose the fight, you immediately go on to the next area. So it's a fun little bonus for you.
It's cool stuff. It's just a fun little Easter egg there. But there it is. That's our ranking of all of the escape sequences in this series. And you know what? The escape sequence is just as proud a tradition as bombing that tube of glass when you see it. Just something that brings an absolute smile to your face, even if it's a stinker of an escape sequence. It's just like, it's almost impossible to do a bad one. So you gotta love it. You gotta love it. All right. Yeah, any final thoughts on that before we get on out of here, Doom?
I'm actually gonna shout out one of your favorite games of all time, Ori and the Will of the Wisps, because I think we talked about that during our Inspired by Metroid episode, and that game has some insanely good escape sequences, particularly the first one in the finale. I think are better than most of the Metroid escape sequences. I think they're incredible. And none of them have timers either. You have like a very specific hazard that is constantly pushing you and it's always on your tail. And I feel like I kind of want Metroid to start doing something like that as well, where you just have a threat that's just hot on your heels and you just gotta make a mad dash for the exit. And if you stop at any point, like you risk just getting, you know, tsunamied over by whatever this threat is. And
that's a great point. Yeah, I guess the only thing about those ones, and I love them, but when you die and you're going to die multiple times, you restart. So I don't know if the urgency is there as much, but it's that being said, it's a quality sequence and like a really strong. You know, it could kind of work actually. Is maybe if you have a timer in Metroid and like every time that you, like, instead of like dying, you did something and like 30 seconds got taken off, or like 30 more seconds got taken off. That would be actually kind of cool. Something I would look forward to.
Okay. That could be interesting.
I don't know. Just a thought or something like that. But or you know what? Even an escape sequence where it's like you're maybe something like that happens, and there's like if you diverge off the path, you can like add a minute or two to the timer, or I don't know, something like that. But there's I guess we don't need to overthink it. But that man, I hope that it comes back for Metroid Prime 4, because that's it would feel kind of sad waiting all this time without a classic escape sequence, you know?
I would be stunned if Prime 4 did not have an escape sequence. I feel like, I mean, technically, you know, Prime 3, I mean, it technically did, but, you know, it didn't have the traditional escape sequence, so theoretically, yeah. Prime 4 doesn't have to have it, but, like, I feel fairly confident it will, you know?
I kind of think Prime 4 is going to deliver on, like, a lot of just, like, things that people want out of a Metroid. Like, I think it'll have Metroids, it'll have Ridley, it'll have an escape sequence, probably a glass tube somewhere. Like, I think it's just going to have that kind of stuff in the game. And we'll see, I guess. But I feel confident for no real reason. I don't know. I feel like it's going to do it. But
I trust Retro Studios.
I trust them. Yeah, there we go. Okay, well, that's actually, and that, speaking of gonna do it, that's gonna do it for us. That was fun. That was a good idea, Doom. I love me a good old ranking.
Yeah, and speaking of Ridley, also donning my Ridley t-shirt today, so.
I saw that. Very metal. Very metal. I've got my WWF 80s wrestlers. Shout out to Brett the Hitman Hart in there. All right.
Nice.
Well, we are going to get out of here, but thank you for hanging out with us and talking escape sequences and a little bit of Switch 2 as well. Let us know what you think. If you think we're out to lunch, or if you think that there's some ones that maybe we haven't given enough love to or too much love, let us know. Join us over on Discord. We're talking Metroid all the time over there. We love to have more people to talk with and just discuss things like this, so make sure that you're doing that. Give us a shout out, or give us a follow rather, over on social at Omega Metroid Pod, at Spiteri316, at Doominal Crossing, at DakCity_ for our boy Dak. And hey, check out OmegaMetroid.com if you are looking for if you're looking for maps, if you got yourself stuck in one of these escape sequences. Probably not many, but if you do, it's OmegaMetroid.com. As you covered, we got guides, we got maps, we got everything that you can need, so check it out. We also got a Patreon that we mentioned a couple times here, where we're doing a ranking of every single area in the Metroid series, so there's more. Do mention that we've been fighting about Frigate Orpheon. That's on that show, so go figure out what we're talking about, and you can learn a little bit something about the tower as well, so lots of cool stuff going on there. And lastly, is to check us out wherever you get your podcasts. Like, subscribe, recommend, rate, review, all that good stuff. If you got a Metroid fan in your life, tell them about the show. We're the only Metroid podcast doing this thing weekly, so tell them to check us out. That, my friends, is gonna do it. But hey, until next week, everybody, take care.